Support for WSJ comes from Comcast, committed to improving your customer service experience with two-hour appointment windows, including nights and weekends, because they should fit into your life, not the other way around. Learn more at Xfinity.com/service.
Retail stocks slide in the wake of Amazon's deal to buy Whole Foods.
What's news from the Wall Street Journal? Top stories without the noise.
From the newsroom in New York, I'm Jennifer Strong. Shares of retailers fell Friday after Amazon said it would buy Whole Foods Market. Joining us with some perspective is the Wall Street Journal's Corey Driebusch. Corey, first of all, why is this, and can you tell us about the decliners?
Hi, Jennifer. Yes, it was a bad week for supermarkets and grocers in general. The week started poorly on Thursday after Kroger, which is the biggest supermarket chain in the U.S. They warned of disappointing earnings, and their shares fell 19%, and other grocers also tumbled on that news. Just worries about there's going to be more competition out there. Things are tough. Also, there's a lot of German grocery chains that are infiltrating the U.S., believe it or not. So there was just this feeling of agitation in that sector. And then on Friday morning, to everyone's surprise, at least in our newsroom, Amazon announced that it would buy Whole Foods for $42, I believe, a share, which is quite a hefty premium on where shares had traded the day prior. And so, of course, Whole Foods stock went way up. Amazon saw a bump. But the other retailers, and that's from traditional grocers to drug stores to the big box stores, think Walmart and Target, they did not do so well. I think when I talked to a lot of investors during the day, they said there's too much of a memory of what Amazon did to bookstores, and this feeling if they are making, Amazon had its toe in the water for groceries, but this is a big dive in, and there was just some fear percolating and rattling.
Now, tech stocks also fell, both on the day and on the week.
You know, this is a continuation from the prior week. So kind of starting June 9th, really, if we want to put a peg on it, there started to be some rotation out of these best performing stocks year to date. So tech is still the best sector in the S&P 500 from a performance standpoint in 2017. It's up about 17% so far this year. So it's still doing great. However, it is not doing as great as it was as of June 8th. And what was going on was several analysts started raising some questions about some of the high flyers in the tech universe and pointing out maybe some high prices and questioning the continued rally in those shares. And the market listened, and the market started rotating out. And it was probably a continuation of not just sentiment changing, but also some more technical factors of rotating out of certain strategies. But it continued on Friday.
Something else that had a pretty active week, government bonds.
Yes, it was a bumpy ride for government bonds this week, pretty eventful, especially on Wednesday. Wednesday morning, there was an inflation reading before the stock market opened, which is my market, so I think of that as the market. But so early in the morning, inflation numbers were released, and almost immediately the 10-year Treasury yields just dropped off of what looked like a cliff. And there was just the sense that these inflation numbers were disappointing. And what does that mean? Are we not seeing inflation? Does that mean the Fed will raise rates as many times as it had said in 2017? Or even if it does, what does it mean for the economy? Is that a bad sign? So yields fell dramatically. They regained some of their losses on Wednesday later in the afternoon when the Fed did raise rates and also signaled it's going to keep raising rates as planned this year. But they still fell for the week. It's pretty incredible that they're lower on a week when the Federal Reserve actually did raise short-term rates.
We're talking about the market with Corey Driebusch, and you're listening to What's News from the Wall Street Journal.
This podcast is sponsored by HSBC. When it's time to take your business international or take your international presence to a whole new level, HSBC has the network to connect you to the world. Search HSBC International to learn more.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Corey, heading into next week, anything in particular you'll be watching?
Yeah, so next week, we're definitely going to be looking at more of the Fed speakers, even though the Fed on Wednesday signaled that they're going to keep on the pace of raising rates. The market doesn't necessarily seem to believe them, so it's going to be interesting how the Fed speakers are able to either maybe shift the market's perception or if they're going to provide some other insight, especially because that inflation data that came out Wednesday morning before the Fed announced its plans, some investors just seem to think that maybe if they had more time to look at that number, maybe the decision would be different. Who knows? And that's definitely a minority opinion. But I did speak to a couple people who thought that. Also next week, there's going to be some new home sales data as well as existing home sales data. And that will be for the month of May. So that's definitely part of the economy that everyone will be looking out for to see if it's strong, solid, or falling.
That's the Wall Street Journal's Corey Driebusch joining me here in the studio. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jennifer.
And thank you for listening. I'm Jennifer Strong in the newsroom in New York.
Make sure to check out the Future of Everything podcast, because the future is closer than you think. All new episodes each Friday in June. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.